Vegas, baby, Vegas!
The big and tall of political talk. Dom and Crouts are the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic Lee, welcome back. A fine guest and a friend of ours. He is Democratic strategist, Vegas Joe Sopecki. We welcome you, Joe, for the very first time during the Biden presidency. Just like saying that. Joe, welcome back.
Hey, Joe.
Vegas, baby. I feel like a winner.
You know, this is the most encouraging hangover I've had in 4 years or more. I feel good about the fact I had a couple too many last night.
As you should. I just feel like the weight is off, right? We all grew so accustomed to walking around with that little bit of extra weight, like something horrendous could happen at any moment, that you got so used to it. And then yesterday afternoon, you kind of started walking around, feeling a little lighter in your step. And you went, oh, yeah, that thing that was there for so long is now gone. I can breathe a little easier. It's nice.
Now, Joe Biden signed a series of executive orders, according to, I believe, Politico, 17 actions taken on the very first day. I've known Dom for 30 years. He hasn't gotten 17 things done in 30 years. Not a bad start for Joe Biden.
No, listen, they are hitting the ground running, and my hat is off to them, right? Like, I think there's an old school way of thinking about this that says, okay, on day one, we're going to do this one thing, and that'll be the story. Day two, we'll do another thing, and that'll be the story. They know that the severity of the crisis we're in doesn't allow for that kind of time. And frankly, there's so many of them. So you know what? Damn the torpedoes. They're moving on coronavirus. They're moving to get us back into the Paris Agreement. They are hitting the ground running, and good on them for taking decisive action quickly.
You know, I've had a lot of pressure here, especially from Fancy Brian. Wants to know, is marijuana legal yet?
No. And Christmas hasn't been canceled yet. They're doing a lot at once. Some of this stuff is going to take the Congress to get done, and hopefully we'll get there.
Joe, it sounds like Biden's going to invoke the War Powers Act to ramp up production. I'm not clear if that's for vaccines or PPE materials, but Joe Biden certainly seemingly taking this far more seriously than reportedly the last administration did. Joe, does it shock you at all to find out there wasn't really a Trump plan to modify when the Biden team got there?
No, because the Obama-Biden administration left a pandemic playbook, and we knew as early as like March of last year that the Trump administration had basically chucked it. And it's not that they were going to come up with something better or replace it. They just didn't think they needed one. And so it doesn't surprise me that President Biden and his team are living up to the campaign they ran and the things they said, which is, we're going to take this serious. It's going to take a whole of government and whole of society effort to get beyond this. So everything from mandatory masking in all federal buildings, you know, practicing what he preached on the campaign trail, using the Defense Production Act to both manufacture PPE and testing supplies and additional vaccine. We need all of it to get through this. And through it all, you can count on the Biden administration talking straight to the American people. That's what he did today. This afternoon, he appeared with Anthony Fauci and said, listen, folks, we could see another 100,000 deaths over the course of the next month. We are not through this. There are tens of thousands of people in hospitals right now, and we're going to lose too many of them. But we have to start the work now so that we can get beyond it in the months ahead.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Joe Sopecki. He's a Dem strategist and a friend of the Devil's Advocates. We appreciate you coming around again, Joe. The weight that is off of our collective shoulders, you know, Trump no longer in the office. The fire has been put out, but there's still remnants, man. There's still burnt furniture, still smells in there. And that's 100-plus Republicans and some of these senators. And you know, they're still going to have to work with Republicans legislatively, Joe. Already you see some banter with regards to the Senate and how they're going to conduct themselves and their rules and so forth. How do you see this going forward with some of the big policy agendas that Joe Biden's going to want to push through in working with these, you know, intransigent Republicans, those that would, you know, are part essentially, Joe, of the insurrection? They're still going to be there casting votes. How does this new administration efficiently work with, you know, the cards that they are now dealt?
Well, I took it as a very good sign that Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell went to church with Joe Biden yesterday morning. And I know that seems like a small thing, but when President Trump, you know, was having his event and they could have chosen to be there. Instead, they chose to go to church and pray with, let's be candid, their friend, right? Like, they worked with Joe Biden in the Congress for a long time. And one of the things it reminded me was that in so many ways, the Obama administration history was a history of sending Joe Biden to the Hill to cut deals with McConnell and Boehner on things like sequester or the debt ceiling, you know, avoiding government shutdowns. Biden doesn't just talk about, you know, working with Republicans. He actually has done it. And so I know that there is maybe on our side a tendency to say, well, how can we work with those folks, you know, who voted this way or that way? And on their side, they're going to say, how can you work with, you know, evil incarnate in the form of Joe Biden? And it doesn't surprise me at all that Joe Biden is the one who is going to extend that hand and say, listen, it's a new day, it's a new administration, we have to figure out a way to do this, and is going to try to hit that reset button. The worst outcome possible is he gets caught trying to be bipartisan. And if they refuse to work with him, well, now we have the votes because Speaker Pelosi is running the House and Majority Leader Schumer is in charge of the 50+1 we've got in the Senate. So there's no harm to getting caught trying to work across the aisle at this point, in my view.
But the unity cries kind of fall on deaf ears for me, or maybe ring hollow would be the more appropriate term, Joe. There hasn't been really a whole lot of consequence to it, certainly the Congress folks that are involved in the speeches and the incitement of the rioting. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is a, you know, avowed follower of QAnon who thinks that Dems are basically baby eating pedophile satanic worshipers. I mean, how do you reach common ground with somebody like that, Joe?
Well, you don't with Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren what's her name in Colorado, right? Let's not misconstrue unity as 100% of the Congress. We don't need that. I don't think the American people expect that. And there should always be some tension in our polity, right? Like, unity in this case means more Republicans willing to work with Democrats. We don't need all of them. And, you know, I'm confident that if they can be gotten, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the team to get them.
Well, they got 10 votes for the impeachment of Donald Trump. And my question, what about the Senate trial? Apparently Nancy Pelosi ready to advance the articles of impeachment. And as you mentioned, Majority Leader Schumer now in control. What do you think that timeline looks like? And what do you think the chance of conviction looks like, Joe?
I'll just jump in. Well, CNN was reporting on the Chiron that the articles could be transmitted as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, I missed that one, but I did see that it could be a very short trial. This could be 3 days. And I think it's worth taking a step back and just marveling at the fact that President Donald J. Trump cannot find someone to take up his case, right? I mean, Republican or Democrat, presidents of the United States should be able to make the career of some aspiring lawyer somewhere. And at this point, they can't even get anybody to take the dang case. So it's an open question whether it will take more than 3 days. The only reason it would is if ex-President Trump wants to call witnesses and make a case in his own defense. If he doesn't, this is relatively straightforward. It's one article. It played out, you know, around the Congress on our television sets. this is not going to take very long to get to the bottom of. And I do think I will basically guarantee you there will be Republicans who vote to convict. Whether or not it's 17 of them, that's the open question.
Joe, does he get a public defender if he can't, find himself an attorney? I mean, how does that work? Does he go pro se and defend himself?
Lionel Hutz?
Is that something a younger Dom is familiar with in the court of law?
Hey, I took the LSAT twice, Joe.
Notice we don't call him Dominic Salvia Esquire or attorney at law. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates. We got to find Dim Strategist and a former Obama administration. What Joe Zepecki, what'd you do for Obama?
I was the deputy assistant administrator in the Office of Communications and Public Liaison at the U.S. Small Business Administration. It barely fit on the business card.
I was going to say, would you need like a Rolodex card to hand out to people?
I was the number two communications official at the agency responsible for working with the small business community, SBA. It's a great organization, great agency.
Joe, speaking of the SBA, PPP round two, and obviously before the end of the Trump administration, we saw new direct stimulus checks coming. How quickly, legislatively, do you think we will see some additional relief for the American people? And what's that going to look like? I think we will see real resistance from Republicans on a round three relief stimulus.
Well, the stimulus we need is the American response plan laid out by President-elect Biden last week and that the Congress will now take up. $1.9 trillion covers a lot of needs right now, a truly national plan for vaccination, aid to local units of government and states to make sure that public employees aren't laid off, increasing those direct payments from $600 up to $2,000. That's what needs to get done. And I believe the Congress will get done. It's the top priority, sort of 1A, 1B being confirming the president's cabinet. But the American Rescue Plan is what we need to get from here to the, what I would call the end of the beginning of the end of the pandemic, because it's going to take more. But let's get the American Response Plan passed and enacted first, and then we'll go from there.
Joe, it seems like they're trying to work out some sort of prenup, a joint custody agreement over in the U.S. Senate, at issue the filibuster. And I know there are some Democratic senators like Joe Manchin that have expressed no interest whatsoever in throwing out the filibuster. But Joe, if McConnell plays hardball and demonstrates he has nothing on the agenda except intransigence, do you think a Joe Manchin can be brought in line by Chuck Schumer? Do you think that they could throw out the filibuster and Joe Biden might actually have a path to pushing forward with his agenda?
I think it's possible, but I don't think if that happens, it's going to be a long time coming, right? It's going to take multiple rounds, probably the summer of this year would be the earliest that would even be on the table. I really think the institutionalist that Joe Biden is and the respect he has for the Senate, he will try not to use that nuclear option until he absolutely has to.
How long before they have to start using nuclear options on Biden cabinet secretaries? We already see guys like Josh Hawley blocking the quick nomination process.
Maybe sooner rather than later. And that's where the filibuster has already been eroded, right? Is in some judicial nominees. You could change the rules to be for other nominations that come to the floor of the Senate. And make no mistake, the national security appointees, nominees have to be confirmed. And the first one after that ought to be Javier Becerra, because HHS at this point in the middle of a pandemic, in my view, counts as a urgent national security priority. Get him confirmed, get Deputy Secretary Designate Andrea Palm in there as well. We can't go to war against this pandemic until those types of leaders are in place. Senate's got to get moving on it.
Joe, Bernie Sanders didn't win the presidency, but he's got the gavel in the budget committee. Is it socialism for all?
No, just like we're not canceling Christmas, socialism is not going to be running amok, much to the chagrin of a couple of radio hosts I happen to know and admire.
Vegas Joe Sopecki, Dim Strategist, former Obama person. Come back in the next segment with us, Joe. A quick on-the-fly decision made. Always a good idea to keep Joe Sopecki around.
Baby, you are so money and you don't even know it.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Joe Sopecki, Dem Strategist, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Sticking around for one more segment. Thank you, Joe, for doing so. And Crudy, we did book it for the two segments. Sorry, man. I did not communicate that effectively to you prior to the show. But Joe, we appreciate your time, man.
Hey, man, I can always roll with more Joe Sopecki. I'm down, man. Joe. Stick around.
The selection, Jamie Harrison to lead the DNC, Joe Sopecki, you're a company guy, man. I want to get your opinion on that.
It doesn't take a company guy to say that Jamie Harrison is really, in a lot of ways, representative of the future of the Democratic Party. You know, Joe Biden said all along and still understands he's not the future of the Democratic Party, right? The future of the Democratic Party is younger. It is more diverse. It is increasingly in the West, in the southern part of the country. Jamie Harrison, a really accomplished young man, happens to be Black, from the South. We need more Jamie Harrisons in our party. And I think that the money he raised, the ability he has to carry a message, means that he is exactly the type of young leader we need in a pretty prominent role to carry that message and build the political power we need heading into 2022.
I prefer DNC chairmen that won their races, Joe.
Tom Perez did a great job and won his race for DNC chair.
Beat out Jamie Harrison. Pete Buttigieg, if I recall.
He did, among others. Jamie Harrison ran a heck of a campaign in a tough state. So you learn a lot by losing. And I think that he will bring those lessons to bear in a way that is very positive going forward. We lost in a lot of places in 2020 that we had hoped to win. So, yeah, let's turn the page and move forward.
Joe, we had Bill Press, former national political talker, CNN contributor. He former Democratic Party chair of California. And as he pointed out to us, as the Republicans are abandoned by certain corporations, he thinks it's time for Jamie Harrison to call them up and see if they can line them up on behalf of the Democratic Party. And Joe, I think there's a real schism in the party in this regard. There is the grassroots support of Bernie Sanders, the $27 or less. And of course, there is the sometimes necessary evil of corporate PAC donations, etc. But I look and I guess this election, perhaps like no others, really confused me as to the impact of dollars, at least when a guy like Donald Trump's on the ballot. I mean, I think he overwhelmed the influence of dollars on this elective cycle. And Joe, rather than trying to capture those corporate dollars, I'd rather we abandon corporate dollars in the electoral cycle. Do you think it's feasible, or do you think it's Dems are going to be looking to cash their own checks?
I think politics has to be about addition. And if there is an opportunity to get more support from what you would call corporate America, Democrats should take it. Republicans are the ones who gave us that opportunity. We should try to figure out how to add to our coalition. Does that need to come with supermax checks? Not necessarily. So Jamie Harrison should be on the phone. Whether or not that comes with an ask for a $10,000 check, I trust him to make that decision. But we have an opportunity as Republicans eat their own and have their own sort of inter-party civil war to grow our power. And I agree with you that people need to be the driver. Those $27 contributors, the millions of Americans who gave $5, $10, $20 after we lost the late Justice Ginsburg to broaden the Senate map. That is the way to fund elections in the future. by getting ordinary Americans to get skin in the game. But that doesn't mean that we should turn up our nose at folks who have traditionally given to Republicans and just say, no, we can never forgive you for the sins of the past. Let's try to add to our coalition. I think we can do both.
Joe, we had a caller the other day, kid named Jeremy, I believe, union guy, voted for Trump twice after voting for Obama. And my question, Joe, it feels like Republicans somehow have stolen away control, or at least the affections of the working class voters, especially white working class voters. And I'm not sure if that's a result of income disparity, if people just haven't gotten a raise in so long. But I fear, Joe, it's a failure to message to working class whites. And my question is, what is the Democratic message? I mean, I know it's lunch pail Joe from Scranton, but is that the message? We're like you, or is there something more to offer?
Well, I don't know if this is what the message is, but what I think it ought to be is you get the same shot as anybody else if you are willing to play by the rules to provide for your family. It's just that simple, right? And I'm not convinced that this, you know, erosion of support among working class whites is about anything other than Donald Trump. We've talked about in the past how long it has been since a lot of Americans, with blue collar workers included among them, have felt like politicians understand what they're living through at all, or that the system is doing anything for them and it's working for everybody else instead. And so part of that is just telling the story that, listen, you're willing to work hard? Great. You should be able to provide for your family. If you are willing to work full time, you know, and hold down a job, you should be able to provide for your family. That is what is at the heart of a $15 minimum wage, because nobody willing to work that hard to work full time should be limited to poverty wages. Right. And so I think some of this is just getting back to basics. I think some of it is a lot of folks looked at Donald Trump and said, well, he figured out how to make himself rich. And if he can do it, he can do it for me and for this country. I think after 4 years, people have seen that that was all an illusion, right? And so now that the veil has been lifted and we realize that, you know, Donald Trump left this country weaker, poorer, sicker than we've been in a long time, I think a lot of those voters are going to take another look and say, okay, who's really looking out for me as we move forward?
Joe, are you at least encouraged by the fact that we got press conferences? Joe Biden's holding, or at least his communications team, holding a second press conference in 2 days. It would have taken Trump a year to have two press conferences.
Yeah, listen, Jen is terrific. We were both on the 2012 campaign for the Obama-Biden ticket. She will do a phenomenal job. Access and transparency is important, as is the straight talk, or as Joe Biden would say, straight from the shoulder. He's going to tell the American people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. That's an essential component of leadership, and good on them for getting it right these first couple of days out of the gate.
That's Joe Zepecki. He's straight out of Vegas. He's our friend. Thank you so much for coming around, Joe, on the Devil's Advocates. I hope you all stick around. Hour two of this big show is next. It's thanks, Joe. Like
these, thanks, Joe. Learn to love again. It sounds like these
time and time again. You know, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
Be your future. Be your future. Make it. Make it.